possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Hey, Matt in San Jose. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Fellas, good to talk to you guys.
Matty.
So the Kyle Shanahan thing, I think he's doing a little reverse psychology. Because if you remember back in 2020, he didn't give the fans and the media much of anything in regards to who he's going to take. But then they make this huge trade where they go and move for the number three pick. And everybody thinks it's Mac Jones. Here we are a few years later. Who would have thought we actually have Mac Jones on the roster and Trey Lance is not in the league? But, man, so you'd have all these reverse psychology factors Shanahan likes to put in. Maybe he's just trying to kind of alert people like, yo, expect low, and then punch you in the mouth. Next thing you know, here they are in the Super Bowl.
Maybe. And yeah, Matt, like, just to let everybody know who maybe is just joining us, here is the shorter clip, Sirius XM, with Kyle Shanahan talking about expectations.
It's hard to kind of say that you're rebuilding because you got guys there who can't carry you. But in the NFL, it doesn't matter how good those stars are. You got to have the right type of team. And we know we got some young guys that haven't done it yet. But that's what's so big about this year. It's what's so big about camp is we're finding out a lot about these guys every day. And it'll be interesting who ends up being a part of our 53, which to me is more open now than it's been in about 6 years. But even on day one, that's not going to be it. Like week one, I expect our team in week 12, week 13 to look a lot different than it did in week one. And my whole goal is that we get better throughout the year and find a way to hopefully get into those playoffs. And once you get into those playoffs, then you got a chance at anything.
I mean, I just, yeah, Matt, I'm kind of, and thank you, Matt. Great to hear from you always. I think that there's some strategically placed words in there. Like I don't want to say that we're rebuilding.
Because you never can be rebuilding in the NFL.
Yeah, well, and because we got a bunch of future Hall of Famers on our team. So I don't want to say that we're rebuilding. At the same time, I got no idea who's going to be on my roster. Final 53, who knows? Good bet that whoever's on it won't be for more than about 6 or 7 weeks. That's going to keep evolving, and boy, fingers are crossed that we can just get better, maybe scratch out a playoff spot. That's what I'm thinking. I'm with him. If I'm the 49ers, I'm not even really saying whether I know for sure. I think that there's a floor for them that is, I don't know, moderately high, but there might be a ceiling too. We've got a bunch of answers to get. Health. Rookies, how quickly can they get it together and all that. But yeah, if I'm him, if I'm the Niners, and I'm looking at the Vegas board right now on Super Bowl odds, I am not comfortable with what I'm looking at all. At all.
Well, it's a well-earned reputation because they've gone from bad to really good. And I'm thinking about the years he was referring to. And after 2018, when you go 4-12, you drafted Bosa, you drafted Debo, you drafted Dre Greenlaw, and you come out the next year, and they won their first 8 games. You start out 8-0, you end up 13-3, you go to the Super Bowl, and Jimmy Garoppolo gave you a 10-point lead, and Kansas City came back to beat you, but that was coming off a 4-12 year. And yet, you came out and you beat Tampa and Cincinnati and Pittsburgh and, you know, teams that probably weren't great, and you had that last place schedule that you have this year again. So there are, I think, some parallels in between that year and this one.
I don't know if it was his comments or if it is the injuries in camp or whatever. There has been an adjustment. There has been an adjustment to the Super Bowl odds since the last time we talked about it, which was either yesterday or the
yeah.
day before. Remember, it was the Bills, the Ravens, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Lions, and then the next team after that was the 49ers. The next team after those top five was the 49ers, and it still is. But three other teams have joined them in a tie for, what is that, sixth place. Behind, and it is in that order. Right now, those three teams are all co-favorites, the Bills, Ravens, and Eagles, followed by the Chiefs and then the Lions. And then the next teams after that all tied at plus 2,000 right now are the 49ers, the Rams, the Packers, and the Commanders. Those teams are all even Steven with regard to their Super Bowl odds, but they are next in line. So even with that fact, you still look at the 49ers as a top 10, inside of the top 10 favorite going into a season where they were 6-11 last year, and their coach is using words like rebuild. Like we're kind of rebuilding. And if I'm the Niners, it's probably a little bit uncomfortable. A little bit uncomfortable to be looking at some of the question marks that they have, yet knowing that that Vegas and the public are thinking about them the way that they are.
But they're not fully rebuilding, and he kind of even said that in the cut. Where
not fully.
You can't be when you've got, you know, Christian and Trent and Debo and Fred, and you got a quarterback who's about to make $53 million and the rest of it. So you're not fully rebuilding, and you never fully are in the NFL. But, you know, he does underscore the reality, which is you don't know from, let's just say, players 18 through 53, who those guys are necessarily going to be. You don't know who's going to be your starting D lineman. You think you know now your linebacking core. The secondary is still a little bit of a question mark based on health and the safety position, wide receiver as well. So I think there's a number of different things that he said that are true. However, you know, I think that it's kind of a classic undersell, over-deliver because, you know, the teams you're going to play and the amount of talent you have and, you know, the system that you put out there. And last year, 6-11, you are what your record says you are. But the metrics would show you that you probably should have had a better record than what you did based on how you actually played.
Well, I'm even tracking this if you look like through the last couple of weeks. Doesn't it feel like what we heard Kyle and Robert Saleh saying about some of these rookie defensive players? If you go back 2 weeks ago, they're like, dude, these guys can play. They're like, I mean, Mykal Williams is, he's long and he's got a huge reach and he's a really tough matchup and he's this, that, and the other. And then this last week, here's Shanahan saying, well, hopefully we can get better and get into the playoffs. Here's Saleh being like, yeah, I mean, it might be midseason. It might be next year, quite frankly, before we really, really get something that's seasoned from those guys. Listen to Saleh. He's talking about his rookie defensive tackles.
We may not know who they are till the midway point of the season. You know, they're rookies. As soon as we hit week one, it's going to start all over. They're going to be leaning on new bodies, new blocking schemes, and they've got to learn week to week what they're putting on tape and understand that part of the game that's happening in there. So right now you just want to see those guys play as hard as they can, as violent as they can, and you trust that as they get more reps, they'll learn how to play the game a little bit better and get better every day.
2 weeks ago, I couldn't stop talking about how C.J. West and Mykal Williams are just dominating people in practice.
Interesting switch.
And now, I mean, might be week 9 before we know who the hell these guys are.
By the way, really quick, speaking of C.J. West, we know Mykal Williams dealing with a hyperextended knee. C.J. West also hyperextended his knee at practice today.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Great. Viva Las Vegas.
There you go. Well, I mean, football's dangerous.
Yeah, football's football.
Know, and you get into it 2 days from now in an actual game, so I don't know who they're going to play. Have they made that determination yet on how they're going to approach offensively, who's playing, who's not playing?
No, but Kyle Shanahan did say earlier today that he wants to play Purdy in some of the starters, and he expects to. He's just not sure exactly who and for how long yet.
Okay, so no definition on that. And no. Guy Haberman, by the way, who right now is doing play-by-play for the 49ers preseason games, is going to join us here in 17 minutes.
Awesome.
So we'll get some of those answers from Guy because he's out there in Vegas getting ready for all of this.
Yeah, in just a couple days, the big preseason game number 2. It used to be the 3rd, and hard to believe that they used to have 4 of these things.
I know.
And
some teams had 5 if you were in that Hall of Fame game.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And pretty soon we're going to be down to 2. Once they're able to expand to 18, we'll be down to just 2 preseason games.
You think so?
I think that's the way that it goes.
You might be right.
You give every team 2 byes, you go to 18 weeks, you end with the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend. That way everybody gets the Monday off. Because we all cry about that in January. Oh, the Super Bowl, the day after, should be a day off.
Certainly don't want to make it about us, but wow, I wonder how the sports media world will handle, Monday's a holiday.
Well, Tuesday, we still talk about it.
We're
going
to need you to be here, actually.
Totally.
We're going to need you to be here.
Good point.
Day after the Super Bowl. Giovanni in Richmond is next up on Willie and Dibby. Hi, Giovanni. What's up?
Hey, how are you guys doing? Big fans. I listen to you guys all the time.
Thank you.
Hey, I was on earlier. I seen you guys saying like the Niners might go 7-10. And what this makes me think that I think they're going to do better than that is the easiest schedule in the league. Ooh. And the injury to Stafford in the division. Like I could see them winning 10, 11 games and being a sneaky team in the playoffs.
Giovanni, when you said you were on earlier and guys were saying 7-10, I imagine you're talking about different hosts on 95.7 The Game, maybe?
It could have been. Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah, definitely not. That's not the prediction from either of us, at least I don't think.
No.
I don't want to speak for you.
I like 11 wins. I mean, minimum. I think 11 wins is very, very feasible. It's plausible. And yeah, it depends on how many of these guys will stop having hyperextended knees in August. But I think that if they're young players, if just half of them step up and are pretty good, and you have ordinary health, not bad health like last year, then I see a lot of wins on their schedule.
Yeah, Giovanni, I'm with you. I'm with Dibs, and I think a lot of it has to do with Robert Saleh. I know that there are injuries. Then again, hyperextensions on August 14th do not mean missed games on September 7th. They do not mean that. So we'll see about those guys. But even if those guys are ready, those guys are rookies, I don't think they're going to put everything on their shoulders for week one. The 49ers will have some people in there, and they will stop the run better than they did last year solely because of the presence of Robert Saleh, his leadership abilities, and his abilities to not stay vanilla and shake it up and try to confuse a quarterback. And I think that the Niners, most weeks this year, will play what I would call a confusable quarterback. Not all of them.
Right.
But most weeks, you'll be playing a quarterback that is either inexperienced or not a top-shelf player. Sam Darnold, by the way, I would put in that category. I think he's a good player, but he's confusable.
Confusable. Yeah, that's fair.
You know, yeah. Stafford, I think, is outside of that. I think Baker Mayfield is outside of that. Maybe C.J. Stroud. I don't see too many quarterbacks, though, on the Niners' schedule that are not gettable. If you disguise, and I think that's what Robert is really good at.
Is the disguise, and it just comes down to the players being able to execute and being able to go out there and, you know, disrupt like you're talking about, and just thinking about the running backs that they're going to face. And because you said, you know, the Niners will stop the run better than they did last year, and I'm just looking at the schedule and relating it to last year's rushing stats. Tampa Bay's on the schedule, and you love Bucky Irving.
And they were a good player.
They were fourth as a team in rushing total yards, so that's going to be a tough test. Arizona, you had a real problem with James Conner both times. They were seventh. Indy was eighth. Atlanta was 10th. So
yeah, Bijan's on your schedule. Bucky Irving, Kyren Williams, Alvin Kamara, Kenneth Walker twice, you know, even, but here's the thing, because you get all of these teams, you know, get to Carolina. Chuba Hubbard's a good running back, but like, are these offensive lines able to open holes? And you know, how are the disguises being picked up, whatnot? I'm not saying they'll be perfect. I just know they'll be better than they were last year.
Well, they have to be better than they were last year, and just by scheme and probably by personnel. And, you know, Fred Warner, playing with a fractured ankle, was unable to have a lot of clean runs at running backs because the blockers were able to get to the second level a lot. So even if he was totally healthy, he was up against it, but he was playing hampered, and Dre was out all year, and your other linebacker was terrible, and then he quit, Devondre Campbell. So you had all kinds of problems trying to stop the run.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But I think that this is what good coaches do, and I believe Robert Saleh to be a good coach. I believe Kyle Shanahan to be a good coach, and that is that right now they're not just looking for who's good and who will be in the schedule, but they're taking notes on a daily basis to think to themselves, all right, and how can we put what we've got into their best position to succeed? And that's why I think that especially coming off of what was really, let's be real, this was a poorly hatched plan last year to have Nick Sorensen come in and be the defensive coordinator. Not ready, kept it constantly vanilla, did not have the personnel to do that. The personnel to stay that vanilla means that we are just flat out better than you.
Right.
And they weren't, not even close. And so that just takes all of the guns away from the people who are on the field. Now, by contrast, you might come in and have some inexperience, but if you can really shake things up and disguise what you're doing and try to fool quarterbacks and try to fool offensive line, you're not going to bat 1,000, but you're going to do it sometimes, and those sometimes are what can turn into kind of game-changing or at least drive-changing plays, bust into the backfield and get a sack,
yep,
or create a holding penalty, create a turnover, whatever. I have all the confidence in the world that they're going to do a lot more of that this year.
Much more exotic as far as the blitzes, and you mentioned vanilla, and last year it was so predictable when they would blitz, which wasn't very often. They would just bring an extra linebacker, and you would just blitz with five. You rarely blitzed with six, and you know Steve Wilks famously blitzed with seven, the zero blitz, and I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this, and that turned out to be...
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Be one thing that kind of cost him his job, but they didn't do a lot of exotic things defensively, and they probably should have, because you're right, they weren't man-to-man good enough to overwhelm offenses, and I also think that's part of playing into the schedule, because you mentioned all these Tier 3 and Tier 4 quarterbacks you're going to face, guys who are among the confusables, and if Saleh can do that with his scheme, and the defense can get some wins against offensive lines that aren't that good, it puts them in a great situation to win.
So again, listen to this, SiriusXM, what Shanahan says about this year.
It's hard to kind of say that you're rebuilding, because you got guys there who can't carry you. But in the NFL, it doesn't matter how good those stars are, you got to have the right type of team. And we know we got some young guys that haven't done it yet, but that's what's so big about this year. It's what's so big about camp is we're finding out a lot about these guys every day. And it'll be interesting who ends up being a part of our 53, which to me is more open now than it's been in about 6 years. But even on day one, that's not going to be it. Like week one, I expect our team in week 12, week 13 to look a lot different than it did in week one. And my whole goal is that we get better throughout the year and find a way to hopefully get into those playoffs. And once you get into those playoffs, then you got a chance at anything.
So listen, there is a little bit of a splitting of the difference here. I don't think Kyle is just making this up so that the media hears what the organization wants them to hear. I don't think that the Niners concern themselves with what we're all talking about that much. You know what I mean? Like, we're not that big of a deal, us fans and media and whatnot. But I think there's maybe a little bit. There's a little tinge of, like, let's tap the brakes on we're a Super Bowl favorite just because of our name and because of our history. That's not really the moment we're in. I do lean, though, in almost taking him at face value. What have we always heard from players when they play for Kyle Shanahan? To a fault, kind of a straight shooter.
Yep.
Like, he'll tell you what he's thinking, and he'll tell you how it is, even if it's not what you want to hear. The most recent to mention this was Mooney Ward, who's now a member of the Indianapolis Colts. And I do think, largely, when we hear him and John Lynch talk, not always, but largely, that's what's going on with us, too. He's just like, this is what it is. I'm not lying to you. We've got a bunch of question marks out there. He's almost acknowledging what I hear a lot of people say about this team locally. I wonder where these Super Bowl odds are coming from. It almost does feel like it's coming from just habit right now. It's just habit.
But it's also protection, because the Niners are a popular team in the betting
for
market.
Sure.
So they're always going to be overinflated in their value just as a protection from the books. But the other piece of it is the Shanahan factor. He's now entering his ninth year. He's widely regarded as one of the better coaches in football. It's one of the better organizations in football. You've got a quarterback who's been a proven winner at times, a defensive coordinator who's done well here. I think there's a lot of other factors that lead it to where 10.5 is about... it's a good number. Like, it's not a slam dunk under that they're going to go 10-7 or worse, and it's not a slam dunk over that they're going to go 11-6 or better.
Yeah, nothing's a slam dunk in the NFL.
But
when
if you put it at 9.5, I do think that there's a lot more over bets than there are under bets.
For sure, which is why it's a 10.5.
And if you put it at 11.5, it's probably the same.
Yeah.
So you got to find that sweet spot, right? That balancing act of, you know, where can you draw the even action? And I think 10.5 is probably that spot.
That's probably the spot. Yeah, because I could see them going 10-7. If they're not blessed with luck, if they're not blessed with the bounces, if they don't get good injury luck, if they do get good injury luck, and if a lot of the teams that are on this schedule play like we think they're going to play, I could see them doing better than 11-6. I don't know how quickly this is all going to come together, but I just know that a lot of the teams that they play, you should, in theory, again, in theory, if I'm just playing this schedule based on how many times do you play a team that's in a quarterback crisis, and should you beat that team? It's not automatic. It's not. I mean, they lost to Cleveland when Moody missed that field goal a couple of years ago. Who was the quarterback for Cleveland that day? I don't even remember his name. Whoever, remember Purdy like went on the drive and Moody pushed it right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was the game in the rain. They were 5-0 and then they lost.
It wasn't Spurgeon win, was it?
No, I can't. This is the point. They were in quarterback crisis and you lost anyway.
It was P.J. Walker.
There you go. P.J. flipping Walker.
Yep.
Okay, so you don't win those games automatically, but you kind of should. You should win at least most of those. So look at their schedule right now. And how many teams do they play that are in a current quarterback crisis?
Quarterback crisis.
New Orleans week two.
Yep.
100%. I'm going to say New York Giants week 9.
Yep.
I'm going to Cleveland week 13 for sure. What about Carolina?
And Indy.
Indy and Tennessee.
That's 6.
That's not a crisis, but it's a brand new spanking rookie.
Carolina's not a crisis, but he's about 6 or 7 bad starts away from them doing something else.
And Chicago is only just a little bit south of this bar.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's some debate there, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 or 5 times, you have a quarterback crisis. So you should do really well in those football games. So let's say... let's be conservative and say, okay, well, let's give the Niners 4 wins there.
That's really conservative, but go ahead.
So now you're playing a 13-game schedule, and can you just pretty much play .500 the rest of the way?
You would figure.
And if you can, you're in great shape.
Yeah, because a lot of those other games, well, they're divisional games, and even the teams that have better quarterback situations, Tampa Bay is not an overwhelmingly good team. It's good offense.
Yeah, they're a good team.
They're a good team, and it's a road game, but it's still going to be winnable.
Yeah, and Atlanta is playing. I mean, we don't call it a crisis. He's a first-round pick, but he's brand new. He's only started about 4 or 5 games in his career. We're assuming everybody's healthy. You might be playing some backups somewhere along the road.